Psalm 66 says that God will not hear our prayers anymore if there's some ought between us and our spouses. There has to be unity between us and our spouse for there to be a free flow between us and God. Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Mark, the summertime is coming to a close. Do you feel the squeeze of there's only so many pool days left and the back to school, there's a purchasing of pencils around your house? What's going on?
There's definitely been orders to Walmart. There's all that's happening. I can't believe that my kids have to go back to school on August 14th. I think it's
travesty.
Evil. I think school is supposed to start in September.
Labor Day.
But that's what we do now, I guess.
Yeah, when I was a kid, wasn't summer from like Memorial Day to Labor Day? What, am I crazy?
I don't know. I don't know what happened when I was a kid. But yeah, it's winding down. I have a report on the Parrot summer business and investing activities.
Oh, yes. I'd like to give good time to that. So review for the people the grand dream.
Well, my daughter, I said, hey, go get a job. You've turned 14. You're legally allowed to work at businesses that I don't own. So go do it. And she said, hey, instead of getting a job, can I breed our dog? I have saved a lot of money. I think she had a couple $1,000 that she saved over the years. And I would like to invest it in the expenses that surround breeding the dog. So she did that. She spent money on a stud fee because we have a girl dog, and she bought all the equipment. She and her uncle went and bought supplies and built a whelping box, which is like a place for the dog to be with the puppies so they don't squish them. And the normal litters, I talked to a mutual friend of ours who does this all the time, has golden doodle puppies. And he said, we've gotten as few as 6, but normally it's like 8 to 12 puppies. And these things, people will pay $1,200 for a golden doodle puppy pretty easily. So I'm thinking this is going to be a huge win for her. Well, I don't know how it happened, but we got 2 puppies. And that means she's got a lot of work. The whole family is honestly enduring a little bit right now because these animals can't be left alone too long. And we're going to hopefully break even, which I don't love it. I wish that was not her first at-bat in kind of real investment in self and entrepreneurship, but that's where we're at. So it's kind of a bummer. There's been a bit of a cloud over the household this week because we thought, well, you're going to have all you need to buy that car that you're going to want in a couple of years and maybe some more. But no.
Maybe she could breed thoroughbred stallions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that would kill her sister. We have a horse allergy in the family.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, you're right. That is a bummer. And it's one of those times when it's sort of like as your kids learning painful lessons about money, just have to let them learn it.
Totally. You and I were texting about this week, and you said, man, don't you just want to swoop in and bail her out? And it's like, of course I do. I would love to say, it's okay, I'll buy each of those puppies for $2,000.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. So it's a hard lesson. All I can say is I look back to the day when I was, I think, 24, that I lost a 6-figure amount of money. And that was a unique experience for a 24-year-old. And I kind of felt after that, like, I know how to take a punch. So maybe this will be a similar experience financially for her where she goes, okay, I'm equipped to weather ups or downs. That's my hope. And not that she goes, I should just become an employee for the rest of my life. That would be a real crap outcome.
Have you given her that coaching that, hey, now you know that you can weather the storms?
Yeah, we've talked about it all the time. At this point, we're kind of like, okay, enough of the financial coaching. Let's just get these things grown up and talk about marketing strategies. How can we get top dollar for the two that we got? That's why today on Abraham's Wallet, we're going to be discussing why a designer $5,000 golden doodle can be a great investment.
This is going to be such a fascinating episode for so many people. It's going to be so practical.
Yeah.
So the topic today is the continuation of our series where we're talking about how do you protect your capital that you've worked so hard to develop. You've said no to yourself, you've sacrificed, and you have some capital. And now how do you protect that? When it comes to finances, it seems clear enough. You get some insurance and try to get top dollar for your skills, et cetera. What about your other capitals? And we've spent some time talking about physical capital and intellectual capital, and we're going to move right on up the ladder. And today we're going to talk about how to protect relational capital. This is going to be difficult to do, but we're going to try to keep every spiritual kind of notion, keep that off to the side, because that'll be spiritual capital. And it's the most important capital in your life. But this runs a close second, which is relationships. Now, Mark, and the reason I said that is because I want you to assume for a second that we're not talking about one's relationship with the creator God of the universe, the king of all things. What is the most important other relationship in your whole life?
I'm pretty sure it would be my relationship with my spouse.
That's such a good answer. Ding, 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 ding. You've done very well. I can't help but think, and you and I had said this to one another at some point, as we're walking through this series, you and I are thinking, well, we've covered some of these things before in other venues. Of course we have, because they're so centrally important. But I also know that there's new people showing up all the time. And so we need to kind of review basics. And it doesn't hurt being told something that you already know. I know that we urged, pleaded, goaded, railed. You could say we railed, talking about divorce for a few weeks. I want us all to hear the danger warning sign, ding, 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 in the distance of road closed. Don't go here. Put the brakes on. Turn around. When the specter of division between you and your spouse comes into view, I want us to all feel the, oh, but we mustn't get too close to the danger zone. I must do anything in my power. We've just recently seen the utter carnage and shrapnel that just flies in every direction as we're seeing the hardening of hearts, I have to say, in some old friends of ours, and everybody that we know is trying to coax them, badger them, threaten them, and do anything we can to try to keep a marriage afloat when you see that there's been unforgiveness and lack of trust and accusation and all this stuff happen. It's the worst. I mean, you are destroying your life. So this marriage thing, whatever you've built up over the years, there's so much that you've invested in your marriage. Can I just review that? Let's talk about the years of courting that you did. Some people, it's fast. Most people, it's very slow. You checked, you double checked. Is this the right person to marry? Anybody that you respected, you asked them, okay, I'm going to marry this person. And then you go all in. This is all of my finances, all of my relationships. We're going to try to meld these. I want my friends to meet this person, and I'm going to try to get along with the in-laws, and all of your dreams get melded together. Your worldviews start merging, and you kind of go, I never thought of that before, but I see it now. I see it her way and all this stuff. There's so much capital in every kind of way. The Bible says that you become one. Two entities meld into a new entity together. And God actually sees you when he looks at you. I'm not sure that God is nearly as individualistic as we are. What you see scripturally is that, yes, he will call your personal sins to account. Yes, but when he's kind of tallying up his people in a city, and when he's considering your faithfulness, and when he considers whether you're a loving person or not, there's no possibility that he could deal with you as an individual apart from your spouse. These things are so intertwined that Psalm 66 says that God will not hear our prayers anymore if there's some ought between us and our spouses. That's repeated in 1 Peter 3, because there has to be unity between us and our spouse for there to be a free flow between us and God. That's the way it works. So huge, huge, huge thing here, the capital that you've invested. How do you keep this going? How do you protect your capital and your spouse? I've got one thing which I did not know in the first about 10 years of my marriage. I've talked about it here before, but has been so helpful to me in my marriage. And it's just about staying current. How do I stay current with my wife? Well, my wife is busy. She's got a lot going on. I'm pulled in every direction. We pass each other going. We send a text message that's about the cost of the new piano lessons, new round of piano lessons, and when is that recital going to be? And are you going to pick them up from the friend's house, you know, at 6 o'clock? And there's this ongoing data flow. But for me, it's been a great help to say once a week, in the best time of our day, not the dregs. Well, maybe we could meet together at Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock when everybody's asleep and you're about to fall asleep and you're dead and you just want to eat some potato chips. I wanted something mid-morning, where I had a mid-morning meeting with my wife when she's at her best, when I'm sharp. And it's more or less a business meeting. So we always go over finances there. We always look at plans there. If there's something coming up, we look at calendars and schedules, and we see that we're a team. We are a president and a VP team that's running this family together, and we got to be on the same page. So I think that staying current with these, could be every day, that'd be great, but certainly weekly updates to talk vision, plans, methods, and practicalities. And I always love to keep on my mind as a family leader, family vision, when we're having these conversations about, well, grandma needs some help with this surgery that she's going in for. Do you think we could spring for $1,000 of this? And then you go back to vision and you go, yes, we had said that this multi-generational thing is important to our family. Why don't we kill a vacation that we had planned for the end of summer? Why don't we give that to grandma? And that, you know, that'll help us make decisions and keep our vision at the forefront. So do you have any tips, Mark, for keeping short accounts with your wife as far as just the practicalities of life?
Yeah, I think that for us, it's you went through this a little earlier than me, probably, but the big change lately has been teenagers that are going to stay up later than us, because normally we just had this like haven time at night. I know you said that's not you guys' ideal time, but that was like our time to just hang out, connect, chat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're like, uh-oh, we have kids that are going to probably stay up later than us because we like to go to bed really early. So that time kind of went away. I think for us, the blessing that came along with that is capability in the kids. So we could go, all right, we have finished eating. We will be back in 30 minutes. We expect this kitchen to be clean and everything to be completely done. And we're going on a walk. And so that's something that we've just started in the past year, where we're trying to just find that time that is like an unplugging. I think it's really wise. You don't have to go on a walk after dinner if that's not your thing, but whatever you do, I have found that my wife, not super big on the let's hold a meeting and go through a schedule and these are the points we need to hit, that bums her out. So that's fine. We're just gonna set aside time and connect, and then of course I think it probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, that we did this last night. Going on dates should be regular, and it's something that sometimes I do a great job for a few weeks, and then I will look up and I go, it's been 4 weeks and we haven't done a date. So because of the way our schedules work, we can't say like Tuesday night is always date night. But it is kind of something that she has indicated, this is on you, bro. I'll go out with you anytime you want, but you're gonna be the proactive person in the relationship. Yes. To schedule that. So just a reminder to the bros. Yeah. Listening.
Yeah, that takes me to my next sub point about the wife, which is I just described a keeping short accounts as far as practicalities, but you've got to stay engaged with her. So I'm going to venture to say that one of the reasons that your walks work, for the same reasons that my morning meetings work, is because there's not a splitting of attention. There's not, well, let's get the kid. Oh, she dropped that. Let me go get that for her. And then I'm back with you. Now, what were we saying? There's just a focus of attention on her, to be engaged with her. So date nights is not only helpful in that, I really think they're probably necessary. And maybe for your schedule, that's a date breakfast or whatever. Maybe you got a bunch of kids in the house and you got to figure out a way to bring her breakfast and you got 1 hour where you're alone in the bedroom and can talk. That's fine. But my coaching would be for all the dudes that when you're doing date night or that one-on-one time, wherever it is, you've got to train yourself to be into her. And what I mean is, like, you should be a student of your wife. Learn about her. Ask questions about where her heart is. You know, this is a scary question, but to ask your wife occasionally, are you happy with your life? How's it going for you as a mom? Just an open-ended question where she gets to share her heart, and maybe she's got to complain a little bit to you. And you got to be man enough to sit there and listen to complaints and respond to her, not by fixing those problems, but by saying, that sounds hard. Ugh, yeah, that's rough. Boy, I get that. And the point of that is I'm trying to engage with her. I'm trying to let her know that I do care about you. You matter to me. I care about you more than I did when we were dating, when you were a stranger to me. I care about you now because we're on the same team. We're doing this thing that has 20 arms and legs to it. I don't see you all the time. And you know, I certainly tell my wife, you know, so much of our communication is practicalities. And I just told her I got this frustrating email from insurance. I'm not even sure I'm going to deal with it. I'm just going to let you read it later. Practicalities. That, gosh, it helps to know. It's kind of like a boss. We're going to get to business relationships in a minute. It's kind of like a boss taking the time to tell you, hey, I appreciate the work that you put in around here. You do a great job. Great. You know, if I get that kind of affirmation from a boss, like I can go a month and I'll just give you my very best because I know in the background, you believe in me and you appreciate me. And so the fact is that our wives are doing a tremendous amount of work to keep the family going, taking care of the kids, all these practicalities. And it really matters to know, hey, I really care about you. Aside from all of the jobs getting done and the big vision of our family, all that stuff, I just care about you. I think that's important to say. Along those lines, what we have to do as family leaders, fellas, is we have to repeatedly share our hearts with our wife. Your wife, who you're presumably leading on the story of what God's doing, a lot of it is through you as the leader of this family. What is God doing in you? Well, she's expected to trim her sails to however you're leading. Don't you think she deserves to know where your heart is all the time? So for instance, I go to these men's midrashes and they're so exciting to me to come away with, wow, I saw this verse. This guy said this thing that just made this verse, this passage, you know, Deuteronomy 17 about becoming a king. I'm just amazed at it. And then to kind of go like, yeah, that's cool that my bros know where I'm at. So come home and go like, what's for breakfast? Like, no, you've got to keep your wife up to speed about what's happening in your heart, where your vision is, with the things that are important to you, et cetera. You have to do the work, and I know that it's work, to repeat those conversations or repeat the kind of processing you're doing with God and give it to your wife. And sometimes if you're a sensitive type, I can certainly be artistically sensitive. You can think, well, I feel hurt right now. And I don't think she's really even listening to me very much. And I don't even know if she is in a good place to hear what I have to say right now. I am telling myself so many times in my own head, get over yourself. Serve her by telling her where you're at. And I think that's a good encouragement for a lot of guys. I think most guys keep things inside. They do a lot of sort of practice planning. They do a lot of visioning inside. They might share that with another father who's kind of in the same place. Hey, have you guys ever thought about moving out to the woods on about 20 acres and just homeschooling? Yeah, I've thought about that too. And then mom never hears this. Come on, man. Put that time aside and be intentional about bringing her along with you and learning about her as well. I think of the great Billy Joel, who said, tell her about it. Tell her all your crazy dreams. You remember that song?
No, I don't know that song.
It's too old. Too old.
I've said this on this podcast before. The question you should ask your wife at least once every 6 months, at least.
I'm going to jot this down.
Is, wife, do you feel loved by me?
Great.
Which is different than, do you think I love you? Or whatever other questions you might come up with. It's, do you feel loved by me? This is a question that I asked my wife years ago, and I thought, we're doing awesome. And gracefully, her answer was, I know you love me. I don't feel very loved right now. And that was hard to hear. I initially was like, what? I thought our marriage was going great. I look back on that moment and with just a ton of thankfulness to say, praise God that I eventually asked that question before there had been like bitterness and all sorts of things that could have taken years to unwind, such that I was able to go to school on her a little bit and say, okay, well, I got to study and figure out the things I thought were conveying my heart haven't been.
Yeah.
And every wife is different. So your wife is not going to receive the same things from you that my wife needs from me necessarily. But just asking that question, I think, has been the most transformative piece of my marriage in the past 10 years is just, do you feel loved by me? Don't get defensive. Hear me saying that right. If the answer is no, it's not bad news. Because if you thought everything was hunky-dory and the answer is, you know, I really don't right now, well, praise God that you asked the question, because now we can actually move towards goodness instead of what you were talking about at the very beginning of this episode, which is what happens to a lot of guys. They are cruising along. They think everything's fine. And then one day the wife goes, yeah, I'm out on this. I'm done.
Had enough.
That happens. And most divorces are initiated by women. That's definitely true. So as much as we've said, yeah, there's these guys who just leave their families high and dry. I'm not saying that it's women's fault that the divorces happened, but I'm guessing that this question could stave off a lot of the things that end up getting bigger and bigger and bigger over years and years until they just explode. So yeah. Do you feel loved by me? Receive the answer and then go to school on your wife. Like, huh, I'm going to try this. And then I'm going to ask if I need to. Like, don't be afraid to be a blockhead and be like, honey, I know this isn't romantic, but I tried this last week. Did you like that? Like, it's okay to be a little bit on the nose with your questions if you're really struggling to figure your wife out. And I don't think that you always want to be like, did you like this right now? But you should be checking in with things you're doing. And it's okay to take a swing and a miss. But just be a student of your wife and say, I'm going to see if this works. And like, expect maybe if I try things, 25% of them will be a winner. And I should just take notes and be like, this really was great. She loved it. Well, that's great. You don't have to hit home runs at every time you step up to the plate. Just ask your wife, study her responses, improve over time.
Yep. And everything that you just said also goes for the sexual relationship as
well. Of course.
Asking questions. How did that go? Was that, did you like the approach? Did you like the on-ramp? How can this be great for you? And it's, I don't know if it's shame or embarrassment or what, but sometimes we don't do enough just talking and going like, the whole point biblically, the whole point is to please one another. So that's a pretty good question. Did that please you? Well, then if not, let's work on plan B. Let's come up with something else. So that's definitely part of the relationship as well. That's just, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because that's not usually something guys omit from their relationship with their wives. If that is being omitted, please initiate and don't let that get between you. That's my only word on that.
I will say, you know, feel free to just fast forward 30 seconds if you're in the car with your kids. But
yeah.
One thing that my wife does when she meets with women that I think is worth doing, even if you're just meeting with some guys, is it's worth having somebody that just asks you very bluntly, how often are you having sex with your spouse? And I've done this, and you could be in, I think it's ideal if you're in a one-on-one setting. I've done this in a group where it's like answer, answer, answer. And they're all kind of in that normal zone that's okay. That sounds healthy. Like good, good, good. And then Cindy's like, well, at least once every 6 weeks. And we're like, record scratch. That's a problem. Again, glad to have the information. Let's start addressing it. But, you know, every couple is going to be a little different on that. So there's not a right answer.
Sure.
But there is a wrong answer.
Sure.
And like you said, if it's not happening, you don't have to panic, but you need to move towards health on that, just like on everything else.
Yes. So we're getting bogged down on the wife, but I've got more things to say. So I'm just going to spend a little more time saying it is part of your job is to believe in your wife. So that's how to not lose your capital on your wife, is that you've got to have a hopeful, faith-filled belief in your marriage and in your wife. I will remind you that Ephesians 5 says that we are to wash our wives with the word, because Jesus does this, and it's part of him. He has this vision where he's going to present his bride to himself as blameless and holy. Now, if you're married to a shrew, you don't have to think, oh, she's really blameless and holy. But we are moving towards, look, Jesus is coming back for a bride that's dressed in white linens. So the scripture tells us, and she has been purified and holified by her relationship with him. And so we have to have this living hope that my marriage is progressing towards holiness and righteousness. My wife is on the way towards the Lord, and we're going to get there. And I believe. So I think that belief plays itself out in a couple of ways. For instance, don't run her down to the kids when she's not there. Don't ever do that. You are eroding your own foundation if you are criticizing mom to the kids so that you can feel the pleasure of their pity to get them on your side because she's such a problem. It's so easy to, you know, to turn to your 8-year-old and go, that's why daddy goes bowling every Thursday. Okay. That wasn't helpful. We don't need that. So don't run your spouses down. Speak well of her to others. Pray for her. Fellas, when's the last time you simply prayed for your wife? Lord, bless Jenny. I just ask that today would be a great day. Give her everything that she needs. I just bless her with peace. Give her joy in what she's doing. Believe the best about her. When something falls through the cracks, I don't know, dinner didn't work out. we can so easily act like, I don't know, it's a guy on the job site. I told you to move the lumber and you didn't move the lumber. Sorry, different scenario here. Let's just believe the best about your wife. Just believe she's doing the best that she can and try to resource her, encourage her, and equip her to do better. So on that note of resourcing, I have to say here at Abraham's Wallet, it's called spend some dough on your wife. So that should be happening all the way up the ladder. We should be able to look at your books and go, I'm spending money on a spiritual capital. I'm spending money on financial capital. I'm spending money on intellectual capital, on physical capital, and certainly on relationships, including the most important relationship of your life. Can you imagine how maddening it would feel if your husband said, yeah, we definitely need to get the BMW, dear. Honey, we don't have money to be going out to dinner at these fancy nights out together. Oh, I see what's important to you. It's not me. It's you having the BMW lease so everybody can see you trucking around. So you've got to put your money where your mouth is if you think that she's important. You're going to give her time and you're going to resource her with money. That doesn't mean you have to go to the fanciest restaurant in town. I'm just saying, don't be stingy with your wife. Don't let give her the short end of the stick and go like, well, we're on the same team and we're so generous that we give money to everybody else, but I don't bless her using my finances to bless her. That's really stupid. That'd be a really stupid thing to do.
Right.
Okay. I have two more points on the wife. One would be to rest her. And when I say rest her, I think we have this theory that God intends for there to be a Sabbath every day. And the Sabbath that happens every day is the time that you spend with him in quiet alone. And there's a Sabbath that happens every week. And then there's Sabbaths that can happen seasonally or annually. So when I say rest your wife, I'm really speaking of the daily time for her to get time alone with God. Are you just helping to facilitate that? There is one version of this where your husband becomes the Sunday school teacher who's like looking in the room. Did you read all three verses? Okay, did you answer questions 1 through 5? Okay, I'll be back later to check your answers. We don't want that, but we want to say to the wife, I want to make sure that you're receiving directly from God the nutrition that you need from his word. I think we can supplement that by constantly, what does the scripture say? Washing her with the word. So I'm reading the word to my wife and to the family, and she's hearing God's words come out of your mouth. And the second thing is that Sabbath time weekly that you fellas, you have to make a stand on this. You probably have to do it with your kids. You might have to do it with your wife, where you say, this is going to be a time of rest. And if you have to oppose her because, darn it, she just can't keep away from that delicious email and she just can't stop scrolling or whatever, you've got to go, baby, I love you. We have to have a time of rest. This is what God has ordained for us. This is going to be a rhythm for us. So I always say in those kind of situations, you have to defend your wife from herself and go like, look, she's got bad habits. I love her. I'm going to love her through them. And I want to protect her from herself and her own moves sometimes. So make sure that she's rested. I say defend her from herself on Sabbaths and on vacations. We just had a vacation talk in our family about how tech will be used on our vacation. And like, I just want everybody to know this. If you think I'm going to be like the policeman, I just want to say I'm throwing out a vision for what we are going to do, what we're not going to do on machines. And that's everybody. That starts with me. And I want everybody to rest. So I throw that out, rest. And my last point on wife is to keep her fed. And to me, this kind of goes along with making sure that she's getting time alone with God. Just monitor. When's the last time she had a good book in her hand that you know is nourishing her, that's healthy for her? The relationships in her life. You know the relationships in your life that drain your wife, and you know the ones that build her up. And are you facilitating or encouraging the relationships that build her up? I know who those are for my wife. And whenever I see those people, I put my arm around that lady. And I whisper in her ear, my wife really needs time with you. It's so important. You please let me know whenever I can make this happen. Those relationships are important for her. So time for quiet times, family prayer, attending worship gatherings, I'd put under this as well. Are you leading her into a place of quiet waters? This is something our family's going to do. You're going to be there. I know a guy who goes to worship meetings and kind of gives his wife the option if she wants to come. And her yes and no is always the switch on whether the kids are going to come or not. And so he comes and learns and worships and is almost always without her. That's a bad move because there's a division that's been, it's not because you should bring that girl. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you are developing, you're walking down a road spiritually that your number two, your right-hand man, woman, is not there with you. And you are creating a splintering in your own family because you're growing spiritually and she's not. So you can't let that happen.
I'm going to say something that we didn't mention. Maybe you count this in the divorce warning. However, we're talking about protection. And what's one of the things that's coming after your relationship with your spouse? I would say any relationship that's not on the up and up with any other female, if you're a guy listening to this. The genesis of this whole protection series came from one of our listeners who said, yeah, my wife like asked me a question about some social media exchange I had that I didn't think anything of. And then I stepped back and I went, oh yeah, I shouldn't be exchanging a message with some coworker on Instagram. That's not appropriate. It opens the door, even though in his mind there was nothing going on. So I just would say, please be aware of the potential for any relationship with any other woman. It's not for you guys. So you don't have female friends. I hope that's obvious. If that's news to you. Okay. You don't have female friends that aren't your spouse. You can have people who are like important in your life, but there will be, I'm speaking as if I get to set your personal rules, but I don't think you should be having any like one-on-one interactions. The Billy Graham rule that they ridiculed Mike Pence for most recently is a really good rule, which says don't spend time with women who aren't your wife one-on-one in any settings. It's not to say that you're incapable of controlling your urges when you're around a female. And that's kind of what the opposition to that rule. It's like, well, if you just could control yourself, then you. But I just think about this as a place where we actually have different standards. We hold marriage in such high esteem. And the covenant that we've made with our spouses that we say, there's just not, I'm sorry, if you're my boss and you're saying, I need you to go on a business trip with this woman. I was talking to a friend not that long ago, and there was a huge kerfuffle at his company because he told a woman and his boss, like, I'm not going to be going to dinner with you when we're on a business trip. It's not going to happen again. And she raised hell, tried to get him fired. What a regressive, you know, chauvinistic guy. He would never say that to a man. And I would just be like, you're right. And I don't care.
Right.
So whether it's online interactions, in-person interactions, even things like that, where your workplace might go, no, this is totally important. Like, it's necessary and normal. Don't be afraid to go shove it, workplace. I don't do that.
Amen.
And I think there's honor that comes from being different in that regard. So just be so ridiculously, like if you're going to err on the side of caution here. And yep. And I would just say if you've got relationships that are with the opposite gender that maybe have crept into being a little too close, break them off. Like, wake up. This is your invitation. You can just tell that person, hey, I'm sorry. I realized we shouldn't be spending any time alone. We shouldn't be having a phone call, whatever it is. I think about this happens in even settings like ministry.
Yeah, this is such a good point that you're making. I had that policy back in my church work days that I would not be, I mean, just think of a church ministry world, okay? We're doing something that is so precious to us. It is so central to who we are. And for instance, if I said, well, I'm trying to do a healing ministry with these people and I just can't get breakthrough. I'm not sure. You know what? Peer female who's about my age and has exactly the same heart for the kingdom and the desires for these things, maybe we could spend 2 hours together just praying together and sharing our hearts together about this. I mean, it could be the most benign sounding thing about a healing ministry or whatever. Guess what's going to happen there? Your hearts are going to be bound together. So I've always told my single guys, don't be praying alone with your girlfriend, because sometimes somebody comes up pregnant when you're praying with your girlfriend alone at night. That's my two cents on that. But I couldn't understand the casual attitude about men staffers spending one-on-one time with female staffers talking about these deep matters of the heart and even having like prayer times together. I just thought this seems super unwise to me. And there was a senior staffer who, you know, every couple of years they'd rotate the people that answered to this guy. And it was always long behind closed doors meetings with these women. And over the years, there'd be screaming that happens behind these doors, tears happening. Because what's going to happen? Well, duh, they fit together like puzzle pieces, a man and a woman. That's how they're designed to work. And so there's going to be all of this roiling emotions happening and all of the confusion and frustration of he's my boss, but he's also my good friend. And also our hearts are moving the same direction. We want the same things in the kingdom of God. And holy cow, we weren't made to carry that burden. It shouldn't be happening. So if you have a direct report that you have to meet with, make it a three-person meeting. Say I'm meeting with several direct reports, etc. You've got to work way around that for the sake of your marriage and your own heart. I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, Mark.
Well, Steve, we've done it again. I remind you that when we set out for this whole protection series, we thought maybe it would be an hour for all five capitals. We couldn't even get through protection of relational capital in one episode.
No,
I don't know what's wrong with us, but
we care, we love, and we equip.
Yeah, and so we've covered protecting the relationship, the capital you've built up with your spouse today. I bet we could talk for another hour on that, but we won't.
Yeah.
What we will do is come back at you next time with our thoughts on how to protect the relational capital that you have built up with other humans that aren't your spouse. So that might include your extended family. It could include your bros. It could include people who are mentors or spiritual fathers for you. Could it include your favorite NBA players?
Yeah. Or your favorite podcasters. How do you maintain a good, strong relationship with them?
And for that, I mean, really, the answer is very simple. We can give that one away this week, which is
sign up to be our email list.
You send the money.
I was going to say sign up for our email list so that we can send you a financial transparency small group study.
Yeah. Have you talked about the marriage study on this podcast yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's another resource. I mean, we didn't talk about it.
That's a great point. We have a whole marriage study that we have designed. If you got a group of four or five couples and you want to spend time developing more capital with regards to husbands and wives and seeing what the Bible says about it so that you can walk in the roles that God has designed you for, we have a study that has been tested over the decades It's stuff that I developed. I've used it in counseling and with small groups for years and years and years. It's got a proven track record of good fruit, and we would love to get your hands on the Bride and Groom Study. That's what it's called. So if you sign up for our email list, just make a note that you want the Bride and Groom Study. We'll get that to you. It would be our pleasure.
Cool. Well, I feel a mixture of accomplishment because I think that we got a lot of good info out there.
True.
And a little bit of sheepish. We didn't complete what we set out to complete today.
But we will.
We did our best.
That's right. We will. So until then, when we cover all of these wonderful relationships, by God, fellas, run your home and dough like a biblical boss. See you next week.